Mark chapter 15, and I just want to read a couple of verses because I want to kind of look in Mark chapter 15 this evening and see where the Lord will let us go. In verse number 33, Mark 15, verse 33, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I had a Church of God preacher one time tell me that was Jesus talking in tongues. And I told him, I said, no, that's Hebrew. Can you imagine not knowing your Bible no more than that? Than not to know that was Hebrew. I mean, it interprets it right there. You know, it tells us. And yeah, it was Hebrew. I said, no, he was speaking in Hebrew. And boy, I just messed up his doctrine in all kinds of ways. Anyways, I said that because I know sometimes we as God's people, it's untelling what some people will say to you about your belief, about the Bible you believe. And so it's always... I've always thought it helpful. Any little thing a preacher can tell me, I want to know. But let's go on. And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that, he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. That's as far as I'll read for sake of reading. We're looking here at the crucifixion of Christ when he was to be brought before Pilate and taken and crucified for the sins of the world. I want us to look at the contrast between God's divine plan and the actions of man. The contrast between God's divine plan and the actions of man. You know that from the foundation of the world, it was that Christ would come and die for sinners. Amen. That was the plan of God.
Amen.
What was happening may have been hurtful to some people. Like Peter, when Jesus had, was showing them humility and many other things, how that he got down upon his knees, he had girded himself, and he had washed their feet. And Peter said, "Oh, no, no, Lord, you're not going to do that to me." You know, and Jesus said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." So, you know, it was the Lord's will to do what he was doing there as a servant. And he was teaching Peter something and the rest of the disciples. But Peter's flesh, the nature of man, doesn't see the divine plan of God many times when it is. Sometimes the divine plan of God is very painful. Of course, it was on this day most painful. God's plan. We couldn't be saved without this.
Amen.
Without Christ doing what he was doing, we could not be saved.
Amen.
And I know the nature of man may have, like Peter, want to swing a sword and cut off somebody's ear. Others, their nature would have been to run. But you see where I'm going with this? In verse number 1, straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes, the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. I'd been studying on some of this, and you know, the way that Roman court and everything, I'd read something the other day that said Roman courts, initially in this era, they started very early, first thing in the morning. I mean, to get there and to have your evidence and to have your, you know, who it is that you're bringing an indictment against and all of those things, your witnesses. I mean, you needed to have them there. I mean, first thing. They'd had our Lord up all night long. They'd buffeted him with their palms of their hands and spit on him. They'd already been smacking on him and beating on him and brought him to Pilate. The Bible says that in the morning, the chief priest, now this is the priest of the Jews, the Aaronic priesthood, he had a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. Everybody's there. Everybody that was big in religion as far as the temple was concerned. And you know, it was a big thing in their day to be threw out of the temple, to be cast out. You may remember many didn't want to even testify what had happened to them for fear that they might be cast out of the temple. But there they have brought the whole council together. They bound Jesus. You know, guilty before you're proved innocent. Not innocent until proven guilty. Guilty until proven innocent. And carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. Pilate asked him, so he goes through the accusations. In verse 3, the chief priest accused him of many things, and he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." Look at the lies and the deceit that they have lined up against our Lord. The lies and the deceit. It was Pilate's job to determine what was truth and what was false.
whether someone was guilty or innocent. His job was to hear their testimony, to hear his testimony, to hear the witness testimony, to look at any evidence that may have been brought. He's trying to get Jesus to say something. And he answered nothing. Now, at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner whomsoever they desired. So here they are at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it's amazing to me. I mean, the unleavened bread is a picture of no sin. And so here he's at this Feast of Unleavened Bread, and he's going to release one prisoner whomsoever they desired. They desired. Now, don't you think, being the Feast of Unleavened Bread, thinking about that and what it means, that you would want to turn loose the one that you thought was the very least of the guilty? But look what they did. And remember, Jesus did not sin. Whether they believed him to be guilty, blasphemous, sinner, they called him all kinds of things. Beelzebub. They really blasted our Lord and Savior with false accusations and deceit. But he was sinless, spotless, the Lamb of God. Now, he standing here at the feast, and there was one, verse 7, named Barabbas, which lay bound with them and had made insurrection. I mean, he had committed an uprising among the people. And the Bible said, who had committed murder in the insurrection. He killed somebody while the uprising was taking place. He wanted to overthrow that government. He wanted Pilate and all of them out of there. I mean, had a group of people in a rage and even killed a man. Maybe he was a Roman soldier. Maybe he was a Roman citizen. Maybe he was just another Hebrew. Whoever he was killed at the hand of Barabbas. And look what the Bible said. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. Now, when the Bible says, and the multitude crying aloud, they wasn't weeping. They were yelling. That's what they were doing. They had no compassion that day. They weren't crying because they were going to get one of them out of jail. There may have been some of the followers of our Lord crying real tears, but this crying here, that means they were yelling, screaming to turn one loose and to let them be the ones to pick. Do like you've always done. Let us pick somebody. Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people. I mean, he stirred them up. He's as guilty as Barabbas right here, exciting an insurrection. He's starting to stir the people up. He's stirring them against our Lord, not against the government. Do you look at the influence that this priest had on that crowd? One man got that crowd screaming, "Crucify him." The evil influence of man in the world to, you know, I mean, here he was so innocent, so sinless. Love. Are you listening to me? Incarnate. I mean, God in the flesh. And then you've got a murderer. I mean, a blood-curdling murderer standing over there. I mean, you put them two side by side, and he's arousing the people by his influence. Listen, people influence other people. Big time. Be who God has you to be. Don't be influenced by man. And just because everybody else is doing this, or everybody else thinks that that's the way, or everybody else thinks that this is the right decision. Because more times than not, you're going to be going in the wrong direction if you go in the direction that evil influence. You will be going in the wrong direction. Evil influence of man. Chief priests moved the people, verse 11, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them and Pilate unto them. What will ye that I shall do unto him which ye call King of the Jews? And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done? This guy is a murderer. What evil has he done that abounds more than this murderer that you would want him crucified and him turned free?" They cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now you look at God's divine plan right here and the actions of man. You see Pilate, you see this crowd, you see Barabbas and Jesus. Jesus is the only one that is right where he needs to be in the divine plan of God. And listen, I mean that they're going to let Jesus stand up there and release that murderer. At the time, it was God's plan. Now think, God's ways are higher than our ways. Think about that one for just a few minutes. I mean, if you were there among you, how could you reason that? Man's mind can't reason when it comes to the divine will of God many times. We don't understand. We cannot comprehend. Even, I'm going to get ahead of myself, even when, you know, when they, no doubt there were some people there that thought what maybe some of those Jewish men were mocking when they said, "He saved others, but himself he can't save." Come down off of that cross. Well, don't you think maybe some of them was a-praying? The Bible don't say that. But don't you know some of them may have wanted him not to suffer up there and die that way? But that was the plan of God. He had to die. He had to. The Bible talks about us, if so be that we suffer for Christ's sake. The will of God that you and I may suffer for Christ's sake. Think about that. So these corrupt priests, listen, Pilate brought that crowd down to a decision. Man always comes, there's a call to decision. What are you going to do with Jesus? What do you do with Jesus? What's going to happen to Jesus? Who are you going to choose? Who are you going to choose? That's that call to decision. That's what happened when we came to the place of being saved. Every one of us were brought to a place of decision. How long halt you between two opinions? Why stand ye here all the day idle? I mean, man is always going to be brought to a decision. And you need to look. You need to really, listen, instead of with your eyes, you need to pray and let God put it in your heart. What is the divine plan of God? Because sometimes it may hurt what's supposed to happen. May not be what you think you needed or wanted, or even wanted to see. It's an inescapable question. What are you going to do with it? Everybody has to answer it. People can go all their life acting like I don't want to hear that God stuff. How many times have you heard about somebody, you know, or maybe yourself has run into somebody that you know, if the name of God or Jesus, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear anything about religion. They can do that their whole life, but they are going to have to answer that question. It's inescapable. Amen. And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Man's going to face God. Woman's going to face God. They rejected Christ. Please people, most people, young people especially, reject Christ to please people. Sure do. What are my friends? It's always, what do my friends think? My friends are watching. People's watching. Wanting to please people. Rather than ask that the Lord come down. They came. The Bible said in verse 16, the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. They called together the whole band. Now, it's also called Gabbatha. Am I right about that? The judgment hall is the place called Gabbatha. And the reason I'm about positive this is the first time I ever heard somebody, and it was instruction for my soul. It was good. Jesus faced those three places of G that day. He was in Gethsemane. And then he was at Gabbatha. That's the judgment hall. Then he went to Golgotha. I never have forgot that. But it says here, it's called, the hall called Praetorium. It comes from the word praetor, which means judge. Place of judgment. This is the praetorium, like this is the sanctuary, but it's also the house of God. Amen. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. King of the Jews. They smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. When they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. The innocent for the guilty. Christ, suffering in humiliation, mocked and reviled and spit upon. All that happened to him. There's no way I can get this whole chapter tonight. I know that. But let me give you this. Verse 21. Here's the next section I want us to go in. Again, you look at the divine plan of God and up against the actions of man, or the decision of man, the will of man. God's divine plan, he wants man to bend his will to the plan of God, to the will of God. So, verse 21, they compel one Simon a Cyrenian who passed by coming out of the country. Simon a Cyrenian who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. Now let me stop right here. Who is Alexander and Rufus? It says, and they compel one Simon. Look, listen to how it reads. Just listen. They compel one Simon a Cyrenian. Somebody they didn't know. He was from Cyrene. He was a Cyrenian, northern Africa, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. He says that, he writes it like everybody knows who Alexander and Rufus is. The father of Alexander and Rufus. Everybody knows who that is. Well, in Mark, in his heart, in his eyes, I mean, why would he even bring them up if they weren't known? Listen to what I'm saying. Now, you can look in Acts 19:33, Romans 16:13, and you can find a man by the name of Alexander, and then Alexander the coppersmith. I don't think that this is Alexander the coppersmith. But it might be that first Alexander. It might be. But then again, I could be wrong. It was an Alexander that looks like had been got out of the will of God. I mean, big time. And the apostle Paul had to turn his body over to Satan that he had learned not to blaspheme. He must, if that's the same one. I don't know. Rufus is mentioned one other time in the New Testament. A man by the name of Rufus. I don't know if they are this Alexander and Rufus. But what I'm saying is, this Alexander and Rufus, just to look at it, looks like they know them, like brothers, like a part of the group. That would not have happened had their heathen daddy, Simon, not agreed to bear the cross for Jesus. I have always in my heart believed, I mean, how could a man help Jesus bear his cross up to Golgotha and then be turned loose? How that could not affect that man's life, that the Savior of the world, are you listening to me? That he helped the Savior bear his cross up to the place it was supposed to be. I think Simon the Cyrenian got saved. I think these boys got saved. That's just my own thinking. But they sure do look like, I mean, just the way he writes it, he's the father of Alexander and Rufus. You know, Dave. You see what I'm saying? This is just my opinion. I didn't get that out of a book. So help me, I didn't. I just got to thinking about that. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. Why? That was pain medicine right there. What that was. He wasn't going to receive it. He took all pain himself. He didn't have anything to numb him of the suffering. He bore it. Are you listening? But look at this. Just think about that. Simon saw this man so beaten and bloody. Held him to bear that cross for Jesus. Somehow, listen, he was right there in the divine plan of God. He may not have weren't, but he was there, and he bore that cross for the Lord. Are you bearing the cross for the Lord? Am I bearing the cross for the Lord? It's a heavy cross. Our Lord and Savior, listen, the cross that he died on, bled on, are you listening? For our sins. He nailed our sins to that cross. Amen. I think Simon, this was a good response for him. They compelled him. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. I don't know if he had to. They were compelling him. Come on, we need somebody. They wasn't going to do it, them Romans. There's a lot more, but I want you to think about, maybe God let us come back to this another evening. Think about God's divine plan in and around your life. And you and I have that decision and choice to make every day. We've made the salvation decision. What about these others? Sometimes they may be hard to swallow. I mean, I don't know how far it was. He may have looked at that and thought, this is going to be tough. This is going to be, you know. They not put that in a buggy. get that up there where it needs to go? No, they wanted somebody to carry it. Man is devious and everything wicked in his heart. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. Amen. All right, let's all stand.